The Landry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Thank you very much and welcome back to The Phil Henry Show as we remember a very special guy.
Feelings.
Today is June 20th.
Nothing more.
And by the way, it just occurred to me by announcing the date, we can no longer use this hour in tape replay if I go on vacation because I just gave the date. Nice going, Phil.
Feelings of a flood.
Anyway, today is June 20th, 2001. Today is the anniversary, the fourth anniversary of the death of an individual who was probably one of the preeminent athletes in the history of American sport. You may not know the name Bob Swain. If you're a golfer, you do. If you were an aficionado of sports in America, you certainly know the name Bob Swain. But I think even more, if you're an advocate for the handicapped, for people who started out in life with a mountain to climb, if you will know the name Bob Swain. Bob Swain was born in 1951 in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. He died in 1997. And when I say died, it's interesting. Bob actually never had a funeral per se because the body was never recovered. And when I get into our story about Bob Swain and the incredible life that he lived, it will readily become apparent to you what we're talking about. Bob Swain.
Feelings.
Bob was a golfer. He started out in life with people telling him he could never be a golfer. It was impossible for him to become a professional golfer, and yet he did. Not only did he become a professional golfer, but he achieved a height of success that very few golfers achieved. Three Masters, two U.S. Opens, a British Open, close to 65 tournament event victories. And then in 1997, suddenly it was over.
I wish I'd never met you.
Yes, there are many of us who hold out hope that perhaps Bob is still alive, but I think deep down in our hearts we know that Bob is gone from us. Bob Swain, 46 years of age, disappeared at the 1997 Masters.
Feelings like I've never loved.
One of the reasons why we are talking this way is because Bob had a mountain to climb for a, I guess you could call him physically challenged, although when you saw Bob, you never really believed that anything challenged him. He challenged it. Bob Swain had an unusual handicap. A great golfer, strong as an ox, tough, tenacious, loyal friend. Yes, okay, he had a little bit of a drinking problem. But he overcame all of it. And perhaps, of course, the single biggest handicap that Bob had, for those of us who knew him and saw him on television, Bob Swain, at his full mature height, was only 11 inches tall. Yes, even Morris Albert, singing Feelings there, suddenly just is stunned by that. But let's start all over again. Bob Swain was only 11 and a half inches high. And yet he, think of what he did. Three Masters, two U.S. Opens. Think about that. If you're a guy that's only 11 and a half inches high, you're not even a full foot tall. This guy could hit the ball 350 yards. He had an he hit greens in regulation. His in regulation average was incredible. He was married, fathered three normal sized children. I mean, it's incredible. And then approaching the last green of the 1997 Masters, battling it out mano a mano. Suddenly, a neighborhood cat ran onto the fairway and, as quickly as he had come into our lives, he was gone. People saw his legs dangling from the cat's mouth, but all they really saw was the cat and Bob, helpless there in the jaws of the cat, screaming, yelling. We don't know whether he was angry, whether he was in pain. He was probably just angry, just really angry that he wasn't going to be able to play out the hole. They never found Bob. They did find the cat, and an autopsy was performed. The cat was put down first, and then an autopsy was performed. Somebody said they found a golf shoe in the lower intestinal tract of the cat, but it was never verified. Police don't have anything in evidence.
Again in my arms.
So many great people went into helping Bob Swain achieve his legendary status. First of all, of course, Nike, making the specialized shoes for Bob. Smallest golf shoes that had ever been made. Nike was equal to the task. The clubs that Bob used, the Ping Specials, the Bob Swain Ping Specials, small little clubs. Guy's 11 inches tall, you got to figure about a 5-inch long club, driver, and he's hitting a ball that's as big as him, almost as big as the ball came to his waist. I mean, I don't even want to think about it. Guy's amazing. He's amazing.
I wish I'd never met you, girl.
Also, a special thanks to Troy. Also, a special thanks to Trojan Cut. I can't stand it, man. It's just so sad. A very special thanks to Trojan Condoms. Otherwise, I don't think I'm being indelicate. A lot of disease might have been spread. Bob was only 11 inches tall, and naturally Trojan was... How should I put this? They rose to the task. Ha ha. Thank you. Bob Swain. We are observing the fourth anniversary of the... Oh, I don't want you to call it the death or the disappearance of Bob Swain. And you can join us in your memories of Bob Swain at 1-800-449-8686. I know many of you don't even know who Bob Swain is because you're not privy to the world of golf. But many of you do. I have mentioned Bob's life on the air before. And I thought maybe we could get together and just remember some of the great moments in the life and in the times of Bob Swain. And for a guy that was only 11 inches high, he got more poontang than any normal-sized golfer I ever met. 1-800-449-8686. We remember Bob Swain. Thanks again to Trojan Rubbers, Nike Shoes, and Ping Golf Clubs.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
And now, Coast to Coast Live AM with Art Bell. If you're calling from west of the Rockies, dial 1-800-449-8666. If you're calling from east of the Rockies, dial 1-800-449-8686. If your breasts are enormous, please call my home number. That number is 555-6321. If you're naked, call me at home. If you're built like a brick crap house, call my home number now. And now, from the kingdom of Nye, here is Art Bell.
And thank you very much, Ross Mitchell. Good evening from the high desert to all of you. This is Coast to Coast AM. And, of course, the news is shocking, and we're going to be talking about that very, very soon, about California's energy crisis. General Johnson Jameson is on the line with us from his bunker complex 600 miles below the crust of Saskatchewan, and will be talking to us from that bunker complex that he built for himself during the Y2K scare, which, by the way, I think is very real. I have not given up on my belief that come the year 2000, things are not going to be very, very pleasant around here, even though it's 2001 and that's over a year ago. So we will talk with General Johnson Jameson about the California energy crisis and what we have found out over the last several hours. Now, take a look at our website. You'll see that we've placed pictures of General Jameson taking a bath. And they have absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with what he's going to be on this program talking about. But I did get them mailed to me, and I did want you to see them. General Jameson in a bathtub. And it looks like there are a couple of shots there where you can actually see something. So that's on my website. Also on my website are pictures of me in varying stages of undress. And those all can be directly accessed on our website through our archive. So General Johnson Jameson taking a bath, me in various stages of undress, and some other interesting things. If you listen to this program, you know that we believe an invasion of our planet is imminent. There are flying saucers and people who wear what look like rubber suits flying them. They look like they're wearing some kind of a rubber suit, but in point of fact, it is their flesh, even though it looks as if there's a zipper up the back. How do we know this? We've seen them. Now, starting on the West Coast, creatures from another world are going to invade. That's why there is an energy crisis in the state of California. They are sucking juice from the planet, starting on the West Coast. And General Jameson joins us now from the bunker complex in Saskatchewan. General Jameson, welcome to Coast to Coast.
Yeah. Hey.
And we thank you so very much for those pictures of you in the bathtub.
Uh-huh.
Tell us what you know.
Well, oh, Christ. Why'd you wake me up?
Well, we're on the air right now.
All right. What I know is that we have not had energy out there on the West Coast for quite some time. So the answer to this has got to be some invasion of creatures from another world sucking the juice directly from the high-energy lines that traverse the San Joaquin Valley.
Now, could it be anything having to do, for instance, with what we've been told, that California didn't build enough power plants?
Absolutely not.
There is no chance?
Not at all.
Why?
Because, why? Don't ask me why. I prefer to believe that creatures from another world are invading.
All right. And we've heard that the power plants not being up on and online, not giving us power, that has nothing to do with anything.
Well, it may, but I don't want to believe it.
You want to believe an invasion of...
Men in rubber suits. I mean, people with green... All right, so it's... I don't know whether they're rubber suits or whether they're actually green skin. I got a picture of it, is all.
And can you describe what they were flying?
Well, what they were flying was a flying saucer. What the hell do you want me to tell you? What is it with you, Bell? You ask me all the same questions.
All right, they were in a flying saucer wearing either a green rubber suit or they were wearing, or that was their skin.
That's correct.
All right, we'll be back with more from General Johnson Jameson about this very unique and unbelievable bit of news, an invasion from another planet by flying saucers and men in green rubber suits. This is Coast to Coast. Friends, this new product from Peenemann Enterprises, when the great clock of the universe goes in reverse and the year 2000 rolls around again, this planet will be in a heap of trouble. Peenemann Enterprises is proud to announce the new Y2K Again Cream of Mushroom Soup. Yes, just add water and you'll have nourishment enough to sustain you. Now, all you have to do is eat this cream of mushroom soup, put the world clock in reverse, throw it up, and it looks exactly like the cream of mushroom soup that you just ate, because it is. Have you ever noticed that vomit basically looks like cream of mushroom soup? Well, now you can have it all. Vomit and soup and the year 2000 all over again with the attendant Y2K panic. New from Peenemann Enterprises.
What the hell did you just...
And welcome back. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm Art Bell. We are talking with General Johnson Jameson. The invasion from another world by...
You know, you sound pretty relaxed for a guy that's just about to have his ass turned to ash by a death ray from a Martian ship.
Well, I'm...
Yeah. I'm telling you right now, Bell, they're out there. They're out there, and they want you. Of all Earth people, they want you.
And in what way do they want me?
I think they want to cohabitate. I think they want to begin to breed an entire new species. You are the Earthman that they've chosen.
That is interesting. So what you're telling me is that...
What I'm telling you is this. Martians, creatures from another world, want to have sex with you to make a whole new species of creature.
All right. So if I'm getting you right...
You got me right. I said it. They want to screw you. They want to take you to the... Don't you understand?
All right. Let me see if I'm getting...
What's to get? Martians want to have sex with Art Bell. Hello?
All right. So what you're saying...
Oh, man.
General Johnson Jameson, that's fantastic.
They want to make you their intergalactic sex doll. Got it? Finally?
I think you're coming unglued, General.
I'm coming unglued. How clear can I make it? Get out of there, Bell. Get out of the bunker. Get out of Purim. Leave. They want you.
This is Coast to Coast.
Friends, a new product from Peenemann Enterprises. I know that many of you were very disappointed that the Y2K panic did not spread and encompass your entire town, your entire universe, if you will. Well, Y2K panic can be yours, yes, with the new Y2K panic package. That's right, just run around the house screaming, hiding all of your valuables, pretend like you have no money, and the next thing you know, you can have a riot right there in the privacy of your own home. Yes, the new Y2K panic pack. Make your kids feel afraid. Start eating bark off of trees. Live in a tent. Just make canvas your house. Anything you need and more. Wear your wife's clothing. Walk around in her high heels and tell people that the shoe stores aren't opening up. Yes, the new Y2K Again Panic Pack, new from Peenemann Enterprises.
You gotta get out, Bill! They watch you!
And now, back to our Bill. Coast goes ahead.
I'm sorry, the music faded out, otherwise... Ah! There it is. We are talking to General Johnson Jameson, who is in absolute and utter panic state over the belief on his part that aliens are traveling to Earth as we speak, wanting to have sex with me so that a whole new breed of creature can begin to populate the universe. And one of the things we like to deal with on this program are things that make sense, things that at least can be rooted in some plausible explanation. Finally, we do have a theory that I think we can all agree on, and that is green men want to have sex with me. It doesn't matter that you're off the grid. They will find me and defile me like never before. General Jameson is here to tell us all about it, and I think that's one of the things about our program.
Yeah, well, your show makes a lot of sense, Art.
Well, and I know, and I thank you very much for being a part of it for all of these years on Coast to Coast. So the invasion is imminent. The California energy crisis has been caused by an invasion of Martians, and they all want to screw me.
They screw you as in sex, yeah.
Well, nothing has ever made more sense to me. And that is the fact that myself and aliens repopulating the universe.
Yeah, you are the mother of the future.
That is absolute and utter concrete stuff that we can all hang our hat on.
Well, I'm so glad I know you. Jesus.
This has been Coast to Coast with Art Bell. If you're a first-time caller, don't call.
But first, this message from Peenemann Enterprises. Friends, when I'm not on the air and you don't know what to do with your lives, just sitting there in a shack, sitting there in a tin shack somewhere in the North Woods, plotting the destruction of the Statue of Liberty, may I suggest that you get your own at-home I Love Art Bell song. It goes like this. La, 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 la.
949-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Flashback.
I don't think the government's hurting the Spanish population by, awarding this $3 billion whatever to the smoker guy. I think these guys' comments are the ones that are hurting the Spanish community.
What did I do?
Gosh, you keep... First of all, you can make up your mind whether you want to speak Spanish or you want to speak English. That's one thing.
No,
and
I believe I have to communicate to the American people, you know, so I'm talking about...
Well, the American people speak English, my
vato,
friend.
The vato.
Well, you know, vato is not even in the Spanish language dictionary. Vato is the slang that gang members use for, like...
Isn't that...
That dude.
No,
it's like saying dude.
I thought those were cowboys.
Okay, listen.
Vato isn't a cowboy.
You're racist. You don't know.
How am I
you
racist?
You know what? He's not a racist. I'm Spanish. I was born in a third world country. I'm a United States citizen now. But
I, bet you everybody
I don't think he's racist. I think you're buried under a rock somewhere, some Spanish rock in the middle of L.A.
Look what the U.S. government did to our people. They stole our ranchito. They took the ranchero.
Ranchito. I don't understand. My first language is Spanish, and I don't understand half of the Spanish words you're saying. I'm raising my kids in the United States.
What about the ranchito?
About the what?
The ranchito.
What's a ranchito?
That's a small...
It's a tiny little house that I don't want to live in, you know?
Well, no, but that's what the U.S. government took our chickens. They took our pigs. They made us...
You know what? I never had any pigs or chickens to begin with, so I can't relate with you on
you
that
didn't?
One, but... I don't want to get into a match with you.
Yeah,
I
let's forget about the ranchito and the broncoito. I don't even know what a broncoito is.
I have no clue what that
is. It's a small horse.
But
it's a small horse.
I just want to tell the host something.
Yes, ma'am.
Try to get from this. I don't want to get into a match with him. Because
I understand.
He can't communicate.
Ma'am, I don't
know?
Want to argue with you. I'm trying to help
and
you, sister. You are a member of my
it's
community.
It's just so upsetting what he's saying.
Right.
I'm raising my two, I guess they're Spanish kids because I'm married to another Spanish guy. In the United States, my son, he's so sure he's going to be the next president of the United States.
Well, that's great.
I'm sure he doesn't want to grow up to be some smoke dude living in East L.A.
Just talking about your son.
Your son could be
a Chicano. Is your son a Chicano?
What do you mean by that?
Is he a gaucho?
I don't know what that is.
Her son isn't
a
South American cowboy, no.
In the United States.
My son doesn't
ride horses or anything.
This is the woman. You understand the macho tradition of the Latin community that the woman should not speak down to the man this way. You make me feel small.
you live in another century. Anyway,
this is the United States of America. You make my penis feel small when you
just
speak with me this way.
Just try to get from this guy.
Will you knock it off with this?
Excuse
me for a minute, Maria. Don't ever say that the lady's making your penis feel small.
My penito.
He's just a loony. You know, I don't pay attention
to
him.
What I'm trying to get from him,
what
penito.
Level of education he has. And
my
you figure out...
is that I love our people, and I want the Latin people to have cigarettes.
Okay, I
want
to ask you something. What level of education do you have, sir?
Okay, currently, I'm a sophomore at Cleveland High School in Los Angeles, California.
Oh, my God.
A sophomore?
That tells you everything.
How old are you, 15?
No, sir, I'm 25, but I did have a bad start. I did have a bad start in life. I admit to that. But
and you know the sad part? With these things you're saying, all these Spanish people that you claim to be gathering to back you up, you're leading them to a bad end as well.
No, but
you know. It's leaders that, like you that we don't need.
Juan Valdez?
You know, those are cartoon people you're referring to.
How dare you say cartoon people? He gave his life for our people.
What? Juan Valdez gave his life?
Don't speak to me. You're Anglo.
Second, I know Juan Valdez. He's the dude that pulled the burro up the hill with the coffee.
I know.
What?
He sells coffee beans or something.
What are you talking about? No. You will not allow me to
slow down.
Okay. You will not allow me to be disrespectful to Juan Valdez or Ricky Ricardo when they smoke cigarettes and I looked up to them.
Well,
Juan Valdez
I look up to
Ricky...
Bugs Bunny. I mean, that what does that? I mean, that
Bugs
not...
Bunny. He
you
was
know,
a gangster.
It's
he
in the same
for my
category
ranks.
as those. This
You're talking about
little,
Bugs Bunny is the guy who started Las Vegas. And
that's Bugsy Siegel, man. That wasn't Bugs Bunny.
You know what?
You know,
host,
I don't like
I can't take anymore of
Bugs
him.
Bunny didn't start Las Vegas.
Who started Las Vegas?
Bugsy Siegel, you idiot.
Phil Hendry. Flashback.
Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686.
Yes, the Phil Henry Show. Phony baloney from the gate. Phony. Phil does all the voices.
Phil does all the characters. People call in. Can we get some reality?
Let me clue you in on something, Jim. There ain't nothing real on the radio dial today. Nothing. Nothing. Oh, you want some? Oh, did you want a real host? Did you want to talk about some real things? I hate to tell you, but you're getting hosed six ways to sunset, my man. Half this stuff that's on the radio, you would be surprised. I got some stories to tell. When I finally write that book, and there has been interest, thank you. When I finally write that book, I'll write the book about this whole phony baloney business of talk radio. Callers, you know the shows that I know set their callers up? You wouldn't believe it. People calling in, like having the producer be one of the callers. How many shows do that, Mike? Other than ours. I'm kidding. We don't do that. I make up all the calls myself. I mean, I do all the characters. We got real people calling in. First thing I ever heard from people were, you know, the first criticism of the show was, oh, well, I mean, all the callers are setups, aren't they? No, they're not. And they just can't believe it. They can't believe it.
Oh, it has to be.
No, it's not, you know. And I'll keep telling you how this show works, and I'll keep telling you how the act goes, and I'll keep pissing off all the regular listeners, and we'll just keep right on getting the calls. Because I know how people work. I know how radio works. And I know exactly how to manipulate the medium to bring to the air what we want, the phone calls. But some of these shows that tell you they're for real, and we were just sitting here talking, I don't want to, you know, spill the beans on anything that Jeff, my great engineer, has the inside scoop on, but some of these programs with the phony baloney calls and, oh yeah, I was just listening to your show and it's the guy's wife, it's a friend of his, it's the producer, it's the screener, it's somebody down the hall, they don't have any calls. But this radio show, I feel very proud to this extent. Slowly but surely, we are just peeling the lid off the whole phony baloney business of doing talk shows. Because they just suck. And I hate talk radio. I can't stand it. I don't listen to it. I would rather have myself flayed alive than sit and listen to 1 minute of talk radio. There's just nothing there. I said, what are you going to listen to? Do you want to listen to the calls that we get on our show that elicit real emotion, real, honest-to-goodness emotion and passion from people? Or do you want to listen to these talk show groupies and these radio robots and these wannabes who call all the talk shows and they get on the air and they get the approval of the screener and they get on and they pretend like they really care? All of these calls that you listen to, half these talk shows that put on the air, the people, the emotion is so inflated. There's just something I know when I hear the sounds of the voices of people that are on these shows. Well, I'm really angry about this. Yeah, you ain't been angry about anything in your life. And then along comes us, and it's just the most phony bullcrap you ever heard in your life, but entertaining. And not only does the host know the names of the people who, but he knows the listeners recognize the caller's voice too. So what happens is you'll get callers calling, wasn't that guy on your show last week? I heard something I couldn't believe. I was stunned. And I don't think I better not say which show. Nationally syndicated show, syndicated by this company. And I heard a guy call the show and say, hi, so-and-so. You know, the last time I talked to you, the last time, which means, see, this is a guy whose show gets lots and lots and lots and lots of calls. And so they're screening the show, obviously, so stringently that now they've got the same people, the same chronics coming back on. Because all the other calls suck so bad. I mean, they just blow so thoroughly and convincingly. Well, listen to me. I'm putting down everybody's work, and I didn't mean to do that. I just wanted to, just every now and again, I want to alert you to some of the things that we know about this business. That's all I'd like to, even gardening shows are trumping up their calls. Yeah, I have some petunias, and put your hands away from your mouth, Bob. It doesn't sound like a phone. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. And it's time now for Garden Talk. Hi, I'm Rick Riley, and let's go to our first caller. How are you doing? This is Chester. Chester, what's going on?
Well, one of the things I wanted to ask you about, was...
Can we get a phone in here so the guy doesn't have to put his hands over his mouth? I'm sorry, Rick, we're doing whatever... Well, God, I'm just... Okay, let's go to Mary. Mary, how you doing?
Hi, Rick.
And you got your hands over your mouth, too.
Well, yeah, what's the matter with... what's the matter with that?
Rick Riley, by the way, is a good guy in Miami radio. Not that you did a gardening show that I ever heard, Rick. But I ain't saying that you never did a gardening show. I did a gardening show once, and the people would call up. Actually, they didn't. I had my friends call up.
Hey, yeah, Phil, I want...
Look, you're on a phone. You don't have to do that with the hands.
Oh, all right.
Only when you're in studio. Okay, other news that I wanted to mention to you. In Texas, two cops were fired for being in the KKK. So now this is the kind of country we live in where a couple of guys can't get together and share common interests. Is that it? Cops in the South belong to the KKK. What's the problem? Guy can't go bowling with a friend? I don't know whether that's for real or not. I mean, there were really a couple of cops in Texas in the KKK. It's one of the things we don't have much of in California anymore. Not that you notice the KKK anymore anywhere, but you don't read about those Klans guys. Not ever since the Beverly Hillbillies moved out here. By the way, our kid has just got, Nick just got his driving instructions in the mail, and he's taking his driving test, and it's been really great. Because the kid's going to be driving in a few weeks. Well, not a few weeks, in a few months, I should say. He's going to have his license. He's going to be out on the highway, and he's going to be taking his brother to school, and he is going to be out doing stuff, running errands, buying me cases of beer. I mean, getting groceries from the store. And, you know, I can write him a note. Please give my son a pack of cigarettes. I'm in bed sick. Sincerely, Mr. Henry. So that'll be a lot of fun with the kid. But anyway, he's got this driving test that he's taken, and you have to, I guess you have to sit and watch him take the test. So it's some kind of a company that administers these driving tests, and we have to stand over him while he's taking this test and make sure that he is taking it honestly. And as a parent, I feel responsible. I have to do this. The other thing that I felt that I was doing responsibly is I let him drive in traffic, even though he has no license. I do that because, quite frankly, the other night I was too drunk to get home from a party we were at, but I gave Nicholas the keys and I said, go ahead, sir. And that's fine. I think that there's nothing wrong with that so long as, you know, you don't get killed. I got to tell you something. If you're too drunk to drive, I think it's okay to have your 11-year-old drive you home. Now, I could be wrong, but what's it going to be? Walk? Yeah, sure. Well, why don't you call a cab? Hey, man, not all the cabs run everywhere, okay? Where we live, there's very few cabs. There's no cab service out where I live. There's like farm country out there. So I say that if you're at a 4th of July party this year, you know how they say don't drink and drive? They're absolutely right. Have your 10-year-old do it. Don't drink and drive. Have your kid drive you home. Remember that guy that was busted? He was legally blind, so he had his, like, what, 4-year-old daughter take him to the store for a pint of old English? The guy, oh, I know what it was. It wasn't legally blind. No, I think he was legally blind and inebriated. So he had, like, his 6-year-old daughter drive him to the store, and he could pick up, you know, a pint of Wild Irish Rose, and then got back in the car, and I think they got popped 3/4 of the way home. They almost made it. They almost got home with the juice. But no, some nosy cop, some busybody copper who should have been out with his KKK friends. Not that all of you cops are in the KKK. I'm just kidding about that. But that's the crap rep you get from those Texas cops. So don't be crying on my shoulder about it, okay? You guys don't like the rep you got? First thing you ought to do is clean up all these guys that are in the Klan. Do me a favor.
Well, that's just a very small minority.
Horse manure, two's too many. Not that I got nothing against the guy being in the Klan. Nothing at all. I just don't think being a copper and being a Klansman, it ain't too good for public relations, okay? You guys want more money for those flak jackets, okay? You want me to go to the policeman's ball? You want to build another wing to the Parker Center? Whatever it is you got to do? Get out of the Klan, okay? I can't be having any money going in. My friends are going to see me donating to you. Either that or put it in an envelope and I'll leave it in your locker or something like that. But get, you know, first things first. And the next thing you guys ought to stop doing is quit busting six-year-olds just because they're driving their drunk uncles home. Or take a cab and have the kid follow you so you don't have to go back for the car. How about that? You call up the cab company. I swear, I'm coming up with some beautiful ideas here. And with the 4th of July around the corner, all of you imbeciles that have been told don't drink and drive, I know you're still going to do it. Good. Kill yourself. Just don't take anybody with you. Well, I know you're not going to do that. Hey, have little Susie follow the cab at a safe distance, but have little Susie follow you home in the car. All right, Barry Bonds is about to break the home run record set by Mark McGwire some 3 years ago. I got no problem with a black guy owning the single-season home run record. I got none at all, Schaefer. I would like to say at this time that I think it's a little soon to be busting the single-season home run record. It was only, what was it, 98 when McGwire set it? Now it's like 3 years later. We're going after another one. This guy's got 37 dingers, and we ain't even at the All-Star break. This cat's going to shatter it by like 10, and that pitching just gets better and better. Now, what is that? Is it the pitching? Are they playing in ballparks that are too elevated? I know that when they got to Colorado and Denver with the Mile High, the wind is too thin, or the air ain't there, or they're in a vacuum. I don't know what the hell it is with Denver, but balls just fly out of that ballpark. Am I right? Because the higher up, the thinner the air, and the farther the ball travels, correct? Is that the reason, or are they can't? You know what I think it is? Nobody wants to play baseball anymore. Nobody wants to play baseball anymore. It's such a dull sport that the only guys that are getting into baseball are hitters. They got no pitchers. And because nobody wants to play baseball and they don't have any pitchers, they're paying these pitchers barrels of dough to serve up these gopher balls. $55 million, baby, and they knocked, what, 200 home runs off you this year. Atta baby! That Kevin Brown's making how much? Is he any good? I'll tell you the guy that they ain't doing it to is that Darren Dreyfurt is $55 million, and he was another stinkeroo last night. Not that I care. Go ahead, bust it, Barry, and I hope you break it by 10. And I hope no white man gets close for years. All right, let's forget the CD, okay? Don't buy the Phil Hendry Show CD. The number one rated Phil Hendry Show CD, best of the year 2000. Don't call 877-616-7445. And the price isn't $20 with $3.50 shipping and handling. And no, they won't take Visa, MasterCard, or a check. And I'm telling you, the service is not fast, it's not courteous, it's not professional. Don't buy our CD. We won't see you tomorrow.